board meeting. Supervisor Hopkins, will you lead us in the flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Captain Bradley?
Father, we're grateful to be in your presence today. Thank you for what's going to take place here, for the change of the weather, the fall season coming. We know it's a change, but we appreciate that. We look forward to a change of activities in our lives. But Father, for the meeting today, we just pray for good discussion, for the presentations. We desire to hear what's happening in our county. We truly appreciate all those who serve and work and do their jobs to make us a better place for us to live. In all those things, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All righty. First off, the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority and receives no additional compensation. We'll do a roll call. Supervisor Haupt?
Present.
Supervisor Cobstaff appears absent. Supervisor Chris?
Present.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure. Okay, time for presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Please address the board as a whole, stating your name for the record. And I ask Steve Bradford up first.
Good morning, Steve Bradford. I'm going to say the same damn thing. Excuse me, but I feel like I'm divinely driven or inspired. I don't know. I've been running like crazy already this morning, and I'm here to say that we are in big trouble. We as a county are in huge trouble. California is a communist state. If you know anything about what Newsom's up to and what these policies he's bringing down, it's getting to be sound like more like Hitler all the time. Our county, our counties in California are in serious trouble. We can't afford to deal with what they're bringing up or what they have brought up. Mike Adams, in the spirit of Mike Adams, he used to come in here and try to inform the board years ago about what's happening. And here we are. It's here in front of us now. The moms and dads can't afford to buy groceries anymore and pay for gas. And that's just only a small part of what's going on and the manipulation that's going on in California. We as counties have to stand together and start fighting back. We had 23 counties at one time for the state of Jefferson, and we're trying to bring that back again because we have no other choice. We have to get out of California, and we need your help. We need your leadership. We need your leadership. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, so do we have people on Zoom by chance?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I can't see that. Natalie, could you explain what we're dealing with when it comes to people on Zoom? They can just listen only?
No.
How am I going to tell when there's someone on?
Yeah. You're
going to raise your hand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anyone online that's got to?
We're showing them online.
Okay. Item 5, consent agenda. Anyone from the board wish to pull anything? If not, motion.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep. Item 6, community development. We approve plans.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. For the record, Rick Dean, Community Development Director. We're having some technical difficulties with the screen here.
Sure.
Presentation is going to be hampered quite a bit without that. I don't know if it's worth maybe kicking this farther down the road.
Okay.
So to get that back up online.
Okay.
Because we have a whole set of plans.
Sure.
And we'd like to be able to present.
Maybe you can just give us the concept real quick. And
we'll okay. I'll do the introduction for it. 2 years ago, Community Development Department got together and applied for a REAP grant, which was specific to help housing in Siskiyou County. With that, we put out an RFP for architect and consultants to develop housing plans for the county of Siskiyou. It's not just specific to the county, but it also incorporates cities that are welcome to use this product also. Currently, we're in the software lab phase. All the concept has been done, floor plans, elevations. The engineering is on the back front. We're still in progress. But have models that range from an efficiency dwelling of 396 feet all the way up to a single family dwelling of 1,650 feet, excuse me. So it's not just specifically dialed to the ADUs. It can be a starter house for single families, or it could also fall in for an ADU for a second dwelling unit. We're really excited about that. It's been a lot of work in process. Really proud of the staff to get it to this point. So,
let me see if there's any additional questions. I have some thoughts on that. Anything?
Yeah.
Real quick?
Just one. So I guess I'm assuming you pick up land, you build a house. Is that kind of this will help a great deal with the recovery work that we're doing with fires, I'm assuming?
Yes, that's a great assumption. We have all the other things associated with building a home, your site map, your setbacks for 4290 regulations, your environmental health clearance for sewer, water, etc. You know, all that is there. The plans, design, pre-stamped, pre-engineered, the certain specifications, and our building officials here to talk about that in more detail later on, hopefully. And it's not just specific to fire victims. It's kind of what we're hearing for.
Yeah, I understand. How are different snow loads treated in the design of these?
Yeah. What we did was design all structures for 60-pound snow loads.
Okay. I was curious whether you set up zones in the county or whether you did the one size fits all. Thank you.
It won't fit all, but the majority of the county.
You know, my long-term goal, I guess, you're always reaching for something. You know, we need housing across the board. I think once you get past a certain threshold, and I don't know, I'm going to use a number of 20,000 or 2,000 square foot. Now you're starting to get into the custom design.
Right.
I think that's a different set of equation. These are designed to be pulled off the shelf. There's a quick and fast process. They're already pre-approved, so we're not going through the plan checking and all that. So,
yes.
Yeah, so I think this is just going to help overall. I'm glad it's not for one, fire victims. It's for anyone that wants to come in and get something done. So hopefully that even lowers their costs, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should improve our efficiency as well.
Yeah. So is Rogan, so is Chris, anything?
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it. And I agree with what supervisors have already said. It's really about efficiency in the department and ease of use for our customers. So when somebody comes into the county or is here already or is a fire victim, my question would be, do they come to you first and say, so I want to build a house? And you go, here's what we can offer you. And that's where they would start instead of maybe, going to an architect first or going, to the power company first. Do they still, would this be the first stop instead of going in a different direction?
Yeah, for sure. And then, like I said, you have to do all the upfront work for developing a house or a property to begin with. But yeah, you can come to the front counter. We'll have all the designs out there to choose from. They're designed to be simple to build and efficient to build. Stack roof, basic dimensions that are on layout with materials, sort of thing. So, and Supervisor Allen's way said, anything's going to be custom, you're going to be a different road. But this is a pretty good foundation.
At least in my mind, it also helps our building department. These are already pre-approved, so they're not having to look up different intricacies, if you will.
Yeah.
Do they meet current Fire Safe Council standards as far as home hardening and that kind of?
Yeah, they're all to current code.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There wasn't going to be no action taken on this. It is something we want to bring back.
Or we can officially continue it, say, to October 3rd? That would be the first.
I'd like to, if we can, if we can get things rolling here.
Yeah, I think it warrants more. I would recommend you send those to the different cities. What we're doing, so they.
Yeah.
I think it's more like getting the word out.
Yeah, we have scheduled events for the city of Weed and Wairega. Hopefully, we're going to have the camp on the second.
Good, real good. Thank you.
So, just real quick, the department, you won't have to do anything. I'll just move it to the October 3rd meeting so you don't have to go through Questus again. Okay.
Okay.
Item 7, flood control. We're going to convene as the flood control of our conservation district. Any public comment? Minute approval.
So moved.
Changes. All righty. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela?
Yes. We're going to adjourn as the flood control and convene as the in-home support services public authority. Public comment.
Showing on the line.
Good. And move on to consent agenda. Move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela?
Yes. We're going to convene back as the Board of Supervisors. We have item 9A, local emergency regarding the head fire persistent drought.
These are the ones that were heard back at the beginning of September and continued for 30 days.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's up to the Board if you want to continue from now. Extend.
Second.
And that's the first one, the head fire?
Yep.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes. Item 9B. Move to approve.
To extend?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes. Item 10 is minute approval. Can we do them all at once, or do we need more?
We can do them all at once. Just realize that there are two separate August 29th, one for the emergency proclamations, and the other was the general plan.
Right. But we were all here for those. So
no, we're
good. Oh.
I wasn't here.
Oh, which one?
August 29th.
We'll do August.
You can do A and B and then
C. Okay, we'll do A and B. I'll move to approve.
A and B, okay.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Abstain.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes. Item 10C, September 5th.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep. You know, if we get out of here by 10 minutes, you can make
it
down there. I'm still thinking midnight for me. We're going to Monterey for a Rural Coalition of Rural Counties conference down there, which... Mr. Bradford, did he leave?
Yes,
too bad. We're going to move on to item 11, public hearings. We got the first one, Health and Human Services, Behavioral Health Division, public hearing to consider adopting Mental Health Services Act annual plan. Is it going to follow a protocol there?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Presentation by the staff.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Sarah Pillar, Director of Health and Human Services, and with you today is Eric Kyrieke. Our new-ish MHSA services coordinator. So today we come before you with a request to adopt the three-year MHSA plan. As you know, every 3 years we're required to conduct focus groups for the community and solicit their feedback and develop our plans. So I will turn it over to Eric to talk a little bit about what's new in the current plan, and we can answer any questions as soon as he's finished.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
And if we would give your name again for this.
Yes, my name is Eric Hardigy. I'm the MHSA coordinator for Behavioral Health. I have the pleasure of working under the supervision of Dr. Sarah Collard and Tracy Lima, and I'm proud to work with our providers who provide the services that MHSA supports. So I'm here just to give you a few highlights and a few of the expansions that we have for our next three-year plan for fiscal year 23 through 26. One of our new programs is the expansion of our prevention and early intervention services for South County and Siskiyou County, working with Siskiyou Union High School District. Mount Shasta High School students identified as at risk will have access to on-site individual and group counseling services. This improves their access to services for youth who are experiencing mental health issues. Walk-in services will be available for youth who are identified as at risk of developing mental health issues and substance use disorders. And these services are going to be free and easily accessible. As we continue to do services for youth, we did get some feedback from one of our providers about how things were going, and I got a few quotes from our providers for some of the group, mental health groups that are being done and conducted. And two students have given us feedback. I quote, "I like everyone and that everyone is trustworthy and positive. I can share what's going on. This place feels safe and supported. I ask questions people don't normally ask, and I feel safe. It's the only place I can tell the truth without feeling judged." A parent gave some feedback. This is an anonymous parent feedback. There were times last year when a parent would call about their students. Their child communicated with their parents about the circle groups that they were part of and what they were learning. Parents felt safe to share what was going on with their child's life and what they were struggling with. This gave everyone a chance to support the student as to be the healthiest and best version of themselves. The kind of care and support wouldn't be possible without the relationships they built in these small group activities and that are at the schools. And I have one teacher who gave us feedback. A third, fourth through fifth grade teacher said that she noticed her students gained valuable listening and cooperation skills from one circle curriculum. Students were able to collaborate and get to know each other better through activities. The teacher saw how it improved the mental health of the students and asked for classes to continue throughout the school year. So as you can see, this some of the work that that is done in these schools and in our communities is very, very valuable. So another new service we are providing will be senior outreach. MHSA will work in collaboration with Madrone Hospice to provide outreach to isolated older adults in our communities who have been identified through the meal delivery program. So really looking forward to seeking out and supporting those people. We also have a new program, is the Community Care Expansion Preservation Program. MHSA will use general system development as a match of one-time funding for Community Care Expansion Preservation Program. This will provide funding for renovation and operating subsidies for board and care facilities. Right now we have about four local facilities that are eligible for funding and to ensure that the facilities remain viable living options for our vulnerable community members. And lastly, we're continuing and expanding our homeless outreach. MHSA is expanding its outreach by adding a case manager to support our clients. This will continue the work in collaboration with Wairika PD as well. We will continue to support our clients and work with our providers, and very proud of the work that's been done. So thank you very much. Any questions?
Any questions for the board? Question I would have, we do this annually, right? Yeah.
Three-year plan and annual updates. You are correct.
Getting public participation has always been a struggle across the board. Are we doing any better over the time frame that I've been involved?
I would say yes. Tracy and Eric have worked really diligently with the resource centers primarily, but also, other providers at different times to engage the public. In terms of input, we also have a survey that we've done the last few years, so people have an opportunity to respond to the survey without having to necessarily attend a focus group.
Great, thank you.
Yes.
Let's see. We have any correspondence, Wendy?
No, none at the clerk's level.
No reports then? Proponents, opponents? Public comment?
We have one online.
Anyone running for supervisor want to comment on MHSA?
I will. Ooh,
you can. Public comment, we're going to have discussion.
Well, okay, I'll wait for discussion.
Rebuttals, non-rebuttals?
Through the chair. Oh. Anna stated that she had one online.
Thank you, Anna. Bring one on.
Caller ending in 1225, it's your turn to speak.
Battery 100%.
I have a public comment, not on this, but general public comment. And I don't know if this is the general public comment or the one on this topic.
General public comment.
Yeah, this is for Mental Health Services Act. Is that what you want a public comment on? We already have public comment for general.
Oh, you already have?
Yes.
Okay, that's okay. Then maybe I will join next meeting then.
Okay, real good. Thank you. And you can send in written comments to the board. Okay, getting back to... Can we close the hearing, Wendy? Can you close the hearing?
Yes.
Can we close the hearing? And discussion by board. Yes, Supervisor.
Okay. I just want to say how pleased and proud I am of all of you that do this job, because it is thankless a lot of the time. And I know how hard it is to get public input and how hard it is to get board members to participate, not only on the COC, but also on the Behavioral Health Board, and to get information that you can really utilize. It is trying to use data that fluctuates every year and to be able to move forward in a productive manner. It's difficult to forecast what kind of funding you have because funding changes and you never know what's going to happen. Looking at your data and looking at what kind of funding you have that goes from here to here and back down every year is so difficult when you're trying to run a program efficiently, and departments, when you have no idea what your funding is going to be like, you're always in crisis mode. So to have such great programs and be innovative in what you've done and be able to move forward and do such great work is that goes unnoticed most of the time. Our constituents don't understand the value in what you do in most cases. And I always promote to you, I beg you all the time to be able to try to get what you do out into the public so that everybody knows the great work that you do, and try to find those success stories and let everybody know how great your work is. And I know that's just one more thing that you have to try to pay for, but it's valuable. It's really, really valuable. So I can't thank you enough for everything that you and your departments and your employees do. You do a great job.
Thank you, and thank you for your engagement, both on the board and, well, on both boards, the COC and the Behavioral Health Board. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
Couple of questions for me. For the outlying areas, I know McLeod, the Family Resource Center there, they started back up again. They're reaching out to the seniors quite a bit. McLeod's a senior community in many respects. And what's your working relationship with them?
We work with the collaborative, so we are funding the collaborative. And we have...
They just joined in. So.
Yeah, so yes, there are resources through the collaborative for McLeod. And I know they've kind of gone back and forth, is my understanding.
Yeah.
And with regard to Happy Camp and Tule Lake, we understand that they're very isolated, and so we make sure to get resources out to them. And we're looking this year also at having case managers actually from those communities out there so that we have more kind of boots on the ground. But yes, it's hard once you get off the corridor to get services.
And then with the Doris community, the Butte Valley Lions Club has a Meals on Wheels program, which may be an avenue of outreach for the
lottery
there.
It's good to know, because we are hiring a case manager who will be doing that outreach, so they're not confined to working with Madrone, but if there are other programs
right.
where we can ride along and start to engage community members, we would be interested in doing that. So
all right, yeah, I can connect you with those. If you want to email me, I can connect you with those folks out there. I guess all I can do really here is second what Supervisor Overton said. You're dealing with, we talk about public engagement. You're dealing with a sector of the public that doesn't want public engagement, or doesn't want to be out in public listed all the time. So you're helping those along those lines there.
Thank you.
honor and our pleasure to work with the community.
Chair Hupp, thank you.
Thank you. A couple of quick questions. I saw in the plan a emphasis on the Aetna PAL program. Any thoughts on expanding that beyond just Aetna? It's pretty successful, and I just thought it could be replicated.
Yes, we go through an RFP process, so they're the only ones that have responded. And as you probably are aware, there's a lot of changes coming to MHSA. So if we're able to continue, we would be interested in expanding that program to other communities.
Okay. And then I'm particularly concerned with the forgotten part of the landscape. And we mentioned Happy Camp, we mentioned Doris, but I have constituents in Butler Flat. As well as Salmon River, who are aging populations, some mental health issues, drug issues in those remote areas. What efforts are in this plan to address those areas?
So again, this is our first, for the seniors have been identified for years as an underserved population through our community outreach and focus groups. And so this is our first foray into trying to serve that community in a better way, and we intend to grow that. So if you have thoughts about ways that we could connect with them, I know that Madron, their food service is fairly limited geographically, but we were not confined, as I said, to this area. So if you have thoughts or ideas about how we could outreach, because we don't necessarily know who or where those people are, but we now have a resource that we can utilize to conduct outreach to those folks.
Probably the most important thing for those communities and to put some work into maybe is just in basic communication, letting people know what's available. So I communicate with them email and with Facebook, some use Facebook. A couple I have to call on the phone,
kind of
thing. But just communication is difficult, and of course it's even that's a 2.5-hour drive to get some of those communities. So I would as a suggestion place more emphasis on community outreach through electronics to those communities because they do live on the internet. And I think they're kind of forgotten. They don't even know about the programs, and even the county kind of forgets about them from time to time, except for me.
Yeah, and I think, as Supervisor Ogram said, it's a point well taken. We've tried different strategies for getting information out there, and it's challenging. So if if social media is a good way to do that, that's community.
Maybe as a heads up too, and this is for all county departments, is that what I'm faced with in the Salmon River drainage in particular is most of the population is aging out there, and there's not a lot of young folks coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So just their basic communal support groups are collapsing over there. So it's going to be a challenge for all of us, I think, to continue to serve what public is like over there and get them connected to what they need to be.
To resources, it's important.
Thank you for all you're doing there. My involvement with the State Association of County Mental Health is really getting a lot of play. And unfortunately, we have no media, no coverage, no nothing. I would encourage you to go over to the Public Service Area 2 on Aging office right there and give some of your same concerns, but some thoughts and ideas, because one of the things that Supervisor Orton was on that board, there's a chat line now that they try to connect people with. There's a whole mental thing on loneliness and how do we engage. The fact of the matter is people live where they want to live, but it's a struggle for us, poor rural county, even with funding through MHSA to get to these places, And so how do we do that? I think media is one, and I advise them to be old fashioned, get on the phone and talk to someone, that kind of thing. And or, there's a new program, as you well know, in Lassen, where instead of having to come to a center there, you can actually go to a certain restaurant type thing. So there's innovative things out there that we're trying to do. Dr. Clard, we've had conversations. I take the long view of this. It's like, we typically are more in the reactionary period, so you think of all the homelessness that's going on. My emphasis is on and my wife who works down at the Denver Elementary, being 2-5 years down the road, what can we do to prevent people getting off that way? Can we stay on the path of people? Housing is a big piece of that, so it's all collaborative in that sense, how we do deal with that. So again, I want to just thank you for all the efforts. I know it's, you know, tough times that we're dealing with in this post-pandemic, I mean, all the factors that we're dealing with. So thank you for all the efforts, and thank you for the ongoing conversation that we've been having.
Thank you, and thank you for your support. And I have one more comment.
Yes,
we didn't receive any public comments during the 30-day comment period, except that there are two corrections to the plan. It's the Community Care Expansion Preservation Grant, and we added that word, preservation, and Aetna Pell is not doing restorative justice. That was my error in writing the plan, so with those two corrections, just to make sure you have that information.
Board's wishes.
And that's the recommended motion?
Yes.
Okay, Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes. Still doing all right, Wendy?
Yes. Was the plan that was uploaded included those corrections?
To get it to you.
If you'll get them to me, that'd be great.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Community Development, we've got a public hearing regarding Williams Act. Chris, you going to recuse yourself?
I'll be recusing myself.
Anybody else need me to Bernadette, we are going to open up this here public hearing. The staff report.
Thank you. This is Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. Outpost MR LLC has proposed a boundary line adjustment to transfer approximately 2.15 acres between two parcels, both under their ownership. This would make the entire resulting parcel run south of Stewart Springs Road. Because the subject property is within an ag preserve and encumbered by two different lands and ag contracts, the preserve and contracts must be amended to address the proposed boundary line adjustment. During the review process, it was found that a portion of proposed resultant parcel 2 is not within an agricultural preserve. According to the county rules for the establishment and administration of agricultural preserves and Williamson Act contracts, the entire legal parcel will be evaluated. Only portions of parcels should not be within an agricultural preserve. To correct this, staff recommends the board consider the inclusion of the entire legal parcel, not to be a significant increase pursuant to County Guidelines Section 3A, and increasing the ag preserve by 193.7 acres, which is approximately 7.5% of the legal parcel size. In order to accomplish this, staff would recommend to first rescind the existing Williamson Act contract, amend the existing agricultural preserve to remove the subject property, create an ag preserve increasing the size by 193.7 acres, and create corresponding Williamson Act contracts which reflect the proposed boundary line adjustment configuration and increased acreage. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15317, open space easements or contracts, and adopt the resolution approving the rescission of the applicant's property and re-entry of the new Williamson Act contract. Thank you.
Any correspondence, Wendy?
No, not for this project. I have a question for Bernadette. Did you still want to show the map, even though we're not set up that way?
We had requested to show the exhibit map showing the resultant parcels with the inclusion of the 193 acres identified. If that would be okay to do.
I mean, the board members can see it in their packet.
Yeah,
and,
within the
and
packet.
Zoom members can see it online if it's part of the packet.
Yeah. So that just is a visual of what I just described on the increase.
You good, Wendy?
Yep.
Any reports from anyone else? Wendy? Nothing? Mm-hmm. Proponents or opponents? Public comment?
Showing none online.
Any rebuttals? None? Is this going to be a closer hearing? Are we
correct.
Going to close it? Okay, discussion by the board. Any questions?
Just a quick question. You brought up BLAs, and my own knowledge, BLAs used to be a hot topic. What's the length of time BLAs are taking to be processed these days?
Haley Lane, Planning Director. So we typically tell folks there's about like a 3 to 4 month turnaround with BLAs. Typically there's a lot of title research that's included in BLAs, and I just want to note that we are also down one planner right now, and our Planning Commission Secretary, who processes the IAs and RTFs, which is a part of the application package, she's currently out of the office, so you know, there is that capacity and staffing issue right now.
Appreciate that. You're making progress in just 2 years.
Not 2 years anymore.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any questions?
I'm just looking at the map. I'm sorry I didn't ask this prior to you. Is there any issue that you see with this flood zone information? Is there issue with the creek and flooding and or water rights or anything like that that might come into play?
Not regarding the Ag Preserve Amendment nor the boundary line adjustment.
Are you busy?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, a couple of questions. All right, two different parcels. You're going to add 190-something, 7.5% acres into the Williams Act?
Correct.
So are they separate? Because I don't have my map up.
Sure.
Are they separate from the two that are existing contracts?
The 193 acres is a portion of resultant parcel B described in, as part of the project. It's already a part of that legal parcel. It's just not under Williams Act.
So it's not in the Williams Act?
No.
Is there any reason why we can't combine and exclude that? Because I personally have a difficulty adding more acreage into an existing Williams Act when it's not in there.
It's not good practice to have a portion of property. It just makes for messy housekeeping, I guess, as far as.
But it's not in the Williams Act currently.
It is not, and it's not in a historical act.
So for county council, do we need just a simple majority to pass this? Because I'm going to vote no, just on principle, I know Supervisor Kopsek would support that. So I would be willing to continue it if that's the case.
So it sounds like you will have a majority vote if you continue on. That's right. So you may want to continue for the full board.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm going to recommend that we continue this to the next meeting. So we have Supervisor Kopsek here, full board.
And that would be October 3rd, correct?
Mm-hmm. And again, my reason is because I would vote no. And so I don't want to hinder this because I'm on principle going to vote no. But I think the whole board would ultimately support that.
So I would vote yes, but I don't know if it takes a simple majority or...
They just said it takes two. Yeah. Thank you, Bernadette.
Thank you.
You're doing a good job, by the way.
Thank you.
And no, seriously, she is.
Yes.
This is heady stuff. It's something we need. Trying to get our hands around for a while.
Can we take a break before going to budget?
Wendy, you usually go to 10 o'clock. I'm sure we can be done in 15 minutes on a budget. You're going to set a record.
We can do that.
No, we'll take 5.
Thank you.